and the young Turbins did not notice the onset of white, hoary December. Oh, Santa Claus, glistening with snow and happiness. Oh, mother of ours, glittering queen, where are you? A year after her daughter Yelena had married Captain Sergei Ivanovich Talberg, and in the very same week in which her elder son, Alexei Vasilievich Turbin, had returned home to the Ukraine, to the city, after a disastrous period of military service and heavy fighting, that very same week, the white coffin containing the body of their mother had been carried down the steep St. Alexei's Hill to the little church of St. Nicholas the Good in Podol on the embankment. It was May when they conducted the funeral service for their mother, and the arched windows of the church were overhung with the branches of cherry trees and acacias. Father Alexander, stumbling from grief and strong emotion, sparkled and shone in the golden lights, and the deacon, his face and neck the color of violet, the forged gold gleaming from his head right down to the soles of his boots, sorrowfully intoned the words of the funeral service for a mother who had left her children behind. Alexei, Yelena, Talberg, Anyuta, who had been brought up as one of the family, and young Nikolka, stunned by the death, with a lock of hair falling over his right eyebrow, stood at the foot of the ancient brown icon of St. Nicholas. Nikolka's light blue eyes, on either side of his long, bird-like nose, wore a lost, shattered expression. From time to time he looked up at the iconostasis, at the arch of the altar, barely perceptible in the semi-gloom, and at the sad, enigmatic figure of an ancient god, towering above them and winking. Why had this insult been inflicted upon them? What an injustice! Why had it been necessary to take their mother away from them just when everyone had come together and started to feel a sense of relief? Flying away into the crack in the dark sky, God said nothing in reply, and Nikolka was as yet unaware that everything that happens, whatever it might be, is always as it should be, and always only for the best. When the service was over, they went out onto the ringing flagstones of the church porch and accompanied their mother the whole way across the huge city to the cemetery, where their father had long since lain under a black marble cross, and there they buried their mother. How many years before their mother's death at number 13 on St. Alexei's Hill had little Yelena, the elder son Alexei, and tiny Nikolka been warmed and nurtured by the tiled stove in the dining room? How often had they sat by its glowing tiles, reading The Shipwright of Saardam, with the clock playing its gavotte? At the end of every December, the air had been filled with the scent of pine needles, the multicoloured paraffin candles glowing on the green branches. The black clock on the dining room wall had chimed in response to the gavotte played by the bronze clock standing in their mother's, now Yelena's, bedroom. Their father had bought these clocks long ago, when women still wore comical sleeves puffed up to the shoulders. These sleeves had disappeared. Time had sped by. Their professor father had died. Everyone had grown up. But the clocks remained, continuing to chime just as they had always done. These clocks had become so familiar that if by some strange chance they had vanished from the walls, everybody would have been affected as much as if a familiar voice had died, creating a gap that nothing could fill. But clocks, fortunately, live forever, just as the shipwright of Saardam lives forever, and, like some wise ancient rock, the tiled Dutch stove continued, even in the most difficult times, to radiate warmth and life. And these tiles, together with the old red velvet furniture, the beds with their shiny brass knobs, the worn rugs, some multicoloured, some red, depicting Alexei Mikhailovich with a falcon perched on his arm, the portrait of Louis XIV reclining languorously on the shores of a silken lake in some heavenly garden, the Turkish carpets with their stunning oriental curlicues that entered the young Nikolka's delirious dreams when in bed with scarlet fever, the bronze lamp and lampshade, the finest bookshelves in the world, smelling mysteriously of old chocolate, with Natasha Rostova and the captain's daughter, the gilt cups, the silver, the portraits and the drapes, all seven dusty, cluttered rooms that had nurtured the young Turbins, all this the children had inherited from their mother at the most difficult of times. With her final breaths, she had clutched at the weeping Yelena's hand and enjoined